Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. I'm your host Ace, and joining me are Artura.
Hello everyone.
And Gozogoz.
Why?
We're a bit fried from Summer Game Fest, but we still need to bring you a podcast for your lovely ears. So in today's episode, we're talking about ZOE-2167 Idolo, aka Zone of the Enders 2167 Idolo, an OVA released in 2001. I chose this one because it's short and we have gaming events to cover. I don't think I'll keep calling it ZOE. I'll just call it Zoe. Save time. It was produced by Sunrise Inc., also known as Bandai Namco Filmworks Studio 6, the studio behind Sergeant Frog and one of my favorite animes, Tiger Bunny. ZOE-2167 Idolo currently has a My Animalist score of 6.86. This is based on Zone of the Enders, a game released by Konami on the PlayStation 2. So, quite a while ago. Dang.
Depression hits.
Yeah. Anyway, my summary of this OVA is, when a couple of mech pilots get reassigned, could it lead to the liberation of Mars? Altura, what do you have?
After the Martians have struggled with humans for a long time, a new prototype, the Metatron, is meant to bring them salvation. But this new mechanical wonder may be more than they bargained for.
And Gozogoz?
In the future, a Marsman fights in a robot war and ends up testing the latest model of a robot that has a big cock.
Pit.
Cockpit. I was waiting for you to say pit.
No.
I'll make you say it in some other context and then I'll just copy and paste it across. So the OVA, we open on mechs assaulting a heavily armed military facility and then get the title card. Smash cut to the action already in progress. A guy called Radium Lavans, pushes forward, but his mech is disabled, only to be saved by Viola Gyun. I think that's how you pronounce that. Lavans rushes the installation and wins, which is when we're finally shown that it's only a practice drill. Honestly, I could have told you that earlier, because big fights don't happen at the start of anime unless it's quickly followed by a flashback. We cut to some soldiers chuckling in a hallway, laughing at our protagonists. Will, who did nothing in the fight except get immediately injured, gets in their way and gets punched. The soldier reveals that they are Earthlings, and the protagonists are Martians. Lavans proves their point that Earthlings are stronger than Martians by punching one of them and the other guy barely feeling it. The commander stops things before they get murdery, and Will is taken off on a stretcher, still having done nothing except immediately injured. The Earthlings leave, and the commander tells him that he was summoned to the chief secretary's office. It turned out that Lavans and Viola were assigned to a different installation due to a recommendation by Instructor Edgar. I never wrote that name again. We cut to Dolores, one of the scientists overlooking the repair of the mechs, and her fellow scientist teases that her darling Lavans caused the scene with the Earthlings. That scene kind of stood out to me because they are together, so he is her darling. So what's with the teasing?
They like to keep it fresh.
We cut to the night where Viola and Lavans are walking through town drunk, or at least he is. And Dolores drives up looking for Lavans, who tells her that Will is going to take 3 months to recover. He got punched once.
I mean, have you never been punched? It also took me a couple months to recover from it. Mostly psychologically, but still.
I know, like, I'm pretty sure one of his eyeballs just rolled right back into his skull.
Lavans finally gets in the car, and Viola says that she can walk, which is a good thing as the car's only a 2-seater. What's she going to do, ride on the hood?
Well, they have laps, don't they?
They have the trunk.
Back at what I assume is Dolores's place, Lavans is still drinking and complaining that they can't see each other easily with him being posted to Noketsu. He then jumps on her. It's because he knows that she knows something and he tries to tickle it out of her, but she doesn't give in. Then we cut to a transport where Viola is thinking back to when she first met Lavans.
Oh, wait, before that, just real quick, this was an instance of unexpected non-nudity.
It was ankles, though.
It's gotten to the point where you're just expecting nudity.
Yeah, basically.
Well, when they first met, she tried to murder him, so he recruited her. And that's the end of the flashback.
Very informative.
They arrived at their posting and introduced themselves to the base commander, who assigns them the role of frame runners in the Orbital Frame Development Project. Orbital Frame is the name for special mech suits, like Gundam is the special name for mech suits in that other franchise.
Or Decepticons.
They're introduced to Dr. Lynx, who is in charge of the project, and we discover that Dolores is also in the same room, as she is Dr. Link's assistant, or one of them anyway. They have a tour of the facility and see the prototype orbital frame Idolo, the thing that will liberate Mars from Earth. We cut to Lavans in the Idolo as he pilots it for the first time, and it's more powerful than he's used to. He flies and crashes into various things until he blacks out and lands in a river. Later, he complains at Dr. Link about the machine being too powerful. She then goes on to explain that she needed him to feel its power, to understand it, and gives him the operations manual to memorize by the next day. So, just threw him in there without the manual.
How would a manual help her?
I'm pretty sure that's how every military operation works anyway.
Everyone gets a manual to help
them?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I think I read that. Anyway, we... find out that they're only able to run tests for 1 hour each day when they're out of view of the satellites in orbit. He decides to study in the cockpit of Idolo, which is where Dolores finds him, and they talk about a Metatron, the material that the mech is partially made from. Then we get a montage where Lavans gets to test the machine, presumably giving Viola nothing to do for days at a time. The montage ends with Idolo in space before cutting to the hangar bay, where Lavans is telling Viola that she shouldn't touch the mech. She immediately goes out in the mech, and it begins to malfunction, appearing to go crashing towards the ground. Instead of saying that, we cut to Viola, with a bandaged wrist, and telling Lynx that it refused to accept her commands. We are then told that Viola has space radiation sickness, and there's no cure. So she explains via flashback that 13 years ago, Earthlings damaged the colony radiation shield, and that's how she got space radiation sickness. And that whole plot point never comes up again. We cut to some Earthlings casing the base before we cut back to Lavan torturing and killing a snake like a mentally stable person before hallucinating that his arms are Idolo's arms. And then he notices a flash of light reflecting off of something in the distance and smirks, presumably guessing it's Earthlings. And we cut to Lynx, analyzing Lavan's brainwaves and seeing a spike in alpha waves.
Who put it there? Was he in Mortal Kombat? Did someone put a spike in his... Oh, that kind of spike.
Worse than that, Idolo has copied the brainwaves and something Metatron shouldn't have been used in constructing orbital frames. It got a bit hand-wavy there.
And something, I'm pretty sure this is supposed to be bad, maybe something.
Later, the next day, whatever, some time passes, and it's the day of a big military test. And Lavans destroys a bunch of drones. He laughs like a crazy person, letting everyone on comms know he's lost his damn mind, but the display impresses the military. But the test isn't over, as Idolo detects the Earthlings' hidden mechs, so he goes and kills them, decimating the area. He manages to capture one of them, and we cut to Lavans beating him up on the floor of the mech bay. I'm not sure if this was the same guy that he beat up earlier, or if he comes in later. The Earthlings kind of all look alike.
That is so racist.
Well, they were racist earlier. I get to be racist to racists.
That's a good point.
Lynx stops him before he kills the guy, and Lavanz tells her to ask Idolo why he's acting like this. Because, yeah, clearly you're mentally stable, dude. Later, Dolores gets out of bed to talk with Lavanz, who explains that piloting Idolo lets him tap into his inner rage, and he hates that that realization means he's probably not fit to utilize the power. We go to the hangar bay, where Lavanz tells Viola that she's the pilot now, as he's quitting soon to marry Dolores. This upsets Viola, but we spend no time with her. We have to cut to Lynx interrupting the base commander, who's just been told there's probably a spy in the base. She asks to be removed from the project, despite it having entered the mass production phase, because the unknown nature of Metatron has given her doubts about Idolo. The commander tells her that she knows too much, so that likely means she's going to be killed to protect Mars's military secrets. We cut to... once she's locked away, we cut to Earthlings infiltrating the base before kidnapping Lynx and then Dolores. Another group attempts to steal Idolo, but Lavanz is in the hangar bay and gets into a firefight with them. Elsewhere, Viola sees them kidnapping Dolores and pulls a Spider-Man. It's none of her business if her love rival gets kidnapped. If you're familiar with Spider-Man's origin story, that's what he did. He ignored a crime and his uncle died.
Spoilers. Now I can't enjoy Spider-Man anymore.
Spoilers for 1964. Oh
my God. No, cut that out.
Now you're going to tell me Bruce Wayne is Batman. Ridiculous.
Nah, I've seen comics where they're stood side by side, so it can't be. The Earthlings escape in a shuttle, and in the hangar bay, one of the Earthlings activates Idolo, but crashes it immediately, and since he wasn't wearing a seatbelt, he dies.
Message of the day, wear seatbelts, kids.
Yep, that's the lesson you're supposed to take away from this OVA.
And that's where the OVA ends.
Viola arrives and tells Lavanz about Dolores, and is somehow surprised that he wants to go after her. She's unable to convince him to stay, and he leaves in Idolo. So the base sends everything it has after Idolo, since this is technically an act of treason. Nothing manages to pose a challenge until he meets... Well, I kind of skipped a lot of fighting because, as I wrote, nothing poses any challenge. He just flies into space, fights some things, goes to the space station, fights some things, breaks into the space station, fights some things. But then he meets the wand antagonist, who I didn't bother writing the name down before. But the moment he sees Dolores through a break in the ship hull, he immediately wins, so no stakes. However, trying to get to Idolo, Dolores takes a bullet meant for Lynx. Well, two bullets. Lavanz manages to get her into the cockpit, where she dies in his arms, although unknowingly and accidentally he manages to kill her murderer, so overall win. Idolo comes under fire, comes under fire from the Mars forces, and thanks to magic, Dolores is somehow uploaded into Idolo, though we already saw that Lavanz hallucinates, so I didn't quite know what to make of it at first. As Idolo fights the Martian mechs, Lavanz hallucinates his wedding to Dolores before Idolo is finally overcome and destroyed. Viola can only watch in horror as Idolo comes apart and Lavanz dies. A wall of text then comes up telling us that this was the Deimos incident, which was when the orbital frame became public knowledge. And then it basically says, but yeah, that doesn't matter. We cut to the future, AD 2172, where we open on Viola in Neath, her orbital frame from the games, as she presumably heads into the events of the same. And then we get the credits. So, was this a good adaptation?
Right, so when I got to watch of the game, I didn't know that this was kind of like a prequel. So, as you can imagine, I was a bit confused. But one thing I did want to point out is the strange and eerie similarities between this and Iron Man VR. Sorry, it's so similar and I needed to mention it. But aside from that, It's set in the future. We were looking at the past. Some of the characters, like Viola, pops up, but I think she's the only one, right?
That's right.
I'm kind of torn here between a yeah and a no, to be honest. I'm sort of.
Guz, have any input?
What she said.
I've played the games, the first two games. Not so much the HD collection because, you know, Konami PlayStation 2 controls don't translate well to modern day. And it had mech battles, it had melodrama. I think it was a decent adaptation. Works nicely as a prequel. Unlike most people, when Zone of Enders came out on PlayStation 2, it came with a demo disc of Metal Gear Solid 2, and I bought the game for Zone of the Enders. I didn't really care about the demo disc. I wanted mech robot fights.
Considering your tag in Game Grid, this isn't really a surprise.
So, is this a Yeta, a Nani, or a Baka? Arturo?
So, for me, I was coming in here with a strong Yata, because I think it was, I quite enjoyed it. But the more you retold things, the more I was like, huh, that never led to anything, did it? So, it is still a Yata for me, but not as strongly and confidently as I was going to say originally.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I think it was a Yata. It was, like, I didn't love it. Like, it could have used more stupid shit. But I think it was pretty solid.
Well, for me, it was a Yata. Going off of what you just said, Arturo, I'm wondering if any of the plot points that didn't go anywhere in this are picked up in Zone of Enders' Dolores Eye, which was a 26-episode anime series that takes place before and after the first game. So technically, it would be this OVA, then the half the series, the first game, and then the second half of the series. But does this deserve its My Anime List of 6.86?
I thought it was so low for it, to be honest with you. Like, I actually quite enjoyed it, and this is coming from the fact that I don't like mechs. I'm not a big fan of mech battles. I just don't find them...
Get out.
Okay.
You're disowned. How dare you? You're not...
Mechs are life.
You're uninvited from our annual meetings of cool people.
Yeah, I mean, not again. I've always been uninvited. As a person who doesn't like mechs, I actually quite enjoyed this one. So I thought it was really good, but you know, as you mentioned, things that weren't kind of like making sense, I was like, oh no. But to be fair, in practice, it doesn't feel that bad. Like when you're actually watching it, you just kind of forget the missing plot holes and stuff.
Okay, goes anything?
Yeah, it could have been higher. Like definitely the animation was really good.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I like my mech animation, and this was really good. Yeah,
especially the low angle of the mech.
As it's coming cockpit first towards the camera, yeah. Okay, that about brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for joining Matura and Gozgoz.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge, but thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrin.com, find us on social media, or listen to the Grincast podcast. Until next time, game on.